Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The interest in the legacy and work of Oklahoma native son Woody Guthrie continues to grow across the state as a new project to reconstruct and preserve Guthrie's childhood home in Okemah is scheduled to get underway later this fall. Titled This House Is Your House, the original home was actually demolished years ago, but a local resident saved the building materials, the brick and wood, and a new home will be reconstructed using the original materials as much as possible. A visitor center and small outdoor entertainment venue is also planned, and once completed, will be turned over to local historical organizations to operate. In fact, the plan is to do small concerts on the back porch of the newly reconstructed Guthrie home. Fundraising is currently underway with a concert by Chris Christopherson Sunday, October 13th at the Mabey Center, and some of the original wood, which will not be used in the reconstruction, will be used to create 8 custom-made Gibson solid-body electric guitars, which will be auctioned to raise funds. My guest today is historic preservationist Dan Riedemann, a renovation contractor and owner of 19th Century Restorations. He recently renovated Johnny Carson's birthplace in Iowa, and other projects include restoring the homes of Muhammad Ali and Nina Simone. He joins us today to talk about the Woody Guthrie home reconstruction and about his work preserving historic homes in America. Dan Riedemann, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Rich.
How did you get involved in historic reconstruction and renovation and restoration?
Well, really from when I was a child, what appealed to me was something old. I wasn't one of the kids on my block that wanted one of the brand new bicycles or a brand new toy at Christmas time. I remember when all my friends were looking through Sears catalogs and wanted to find that brand new pedal car, I kind of wanted the old 1950s one, the kind of rusty tin one. It was just my style. And I grew up under an incredible tradesman in my grandfather and just spent so many summers working with him that between those two elements, what I've always been passionate about.
Now, in the recent years, you're actually getting into taking historic homes of people who, you know, were famous at one point, and restoring them to the time when they lived there as much as possible. And I guess the first place you did that was the Johnny Carson birthplace, which we think of as Nebraska, but is actually in Iowa, Corning, Iowa.
Yes, that's true.
Tell us a little bit about the project and how you work with nonprofits to create, a viable tourist attraction of some sort. I mean, is that always the goal, or is it simply restoring the house, or is it sort of creating a civic point of pride, if you will?
Well, yeah, that you nailed it right on the head there. What I feel my job is first of all and foremost, I'm a contractor, I'm a carpenter by trade and a restoration expert. So the restoration part is really the easy part. What seems to happen, and we try to focus on, we're after the rags to riches stories, and Johnny Carson was one of those. He was born in the least populated county of Iowa to a father who worked for the utility company. And the home that he was born in was 700 square feet. And they were renters at the time. They only lived there for several years. But Johnny was born in the front bedroom of this house. The doctor came to the house and delivered him right there in the front bedroom. And so when a house like that is going to be torn down or basically wiped from history, that's just a shame. And, you know, we in America, we tend to have a big focus on the big success stories and, you know, drive down those historic neighborhoods and look at the big pillared mansions of the people after they made it. And with me, the story is really way before that. It's where did these people come from? What community built them? And, you know, there's so much more to that story before they were successful than after. And so what we try to do is come in, we help with the forming of the museum. We help them form a 501c3, get a board thrown together. And then we, as the contractor, come in and try to make the place as economically viable as possible. We restore them to the absolute strictest historic standards we can on the surface. But we go in and we use the most modern insulation we possibly can when it comes to items like hot water heaters, or if there's a way that we can sneak onto the site some solar panels that aren't on the house. We do everything we can to bring in outside sources for those type of products and make these as economically feasible so that the holding costs stay low. And then all the while, we're helping them set up a plan for how they're going to run their museum and keep this home, you know, this little property viable so that it, you know, they make such an amazing place for people to just go and ponder, you know, the American dream and the American way of life.
Now, in Corning, Iowa, was there a lot of, was Johnny Carson sort of a favorite son of them since he only lived there a few years? Was this something that they were aware of, they wanted to save, or was this a matter of you coming in and trying to save it?
Well, no, it's always an interesting story there. Now, Johnny, of course, in all of the cases, you know, Woody Guthrie, Johnny Carson, Nina Simone, nobody knew. He was just that little kid down the street.
Right.
But what happens is now, of course, Johnny Carson is their favorite son. He has streets named after him and parks named after him. But even then, there's always a small but vocal group of people who just want to have, you know, the place demolished. They don't care. It just doesn't matter to them. So there's always a little bit of controversy in every town we go into. But in the case of the Johnny Carson house, they formed their a little board to save the house. It was going to be torn down. One individual stepped forward and bought the property before it could be bulldozed. And I believe they were going to put up some low-income housing on the block. And he slipped in, bought the house, and just held it until the board could be established and until they could get a game plan together. And then he took the house and then sold it to the board, dollar for what he paid for it, which was nearly nothing because it was falling off of its foundation. And
right.
Really dilapidated little tiny house. And so then that's, of course, when we stepped in and started working with the board and getting a viable plan for the property.
Now, is that up and running now, the Carson House?
It is. We finished our part of the project. They're still finishing some site work. They bought a vacant lot next door so that they can accommodate parking, and then they're buying two more lots on down so that they can put in a museum mm-hmm. and a gift shop so that they can focus the little house on every square inch of it looking exactly like it would have when Johnny lived there. And that's our goal on every project, because most of these are tiny houses, and when you try to fit an office, some sort of little gift shop, and all those information packets and souvenirs into these little tiny houses, it doesn't work. So it's always nice to overdevelop the, try to develop at least half of the block and put in an information center, and that's what they're doing down there right now. And that's what we're just getting started on.
And really, the house becomes a little piece of living history of what it was like, you know, being born, you know, early 19-teens and in a rural Iowa community.
Exactly. Down to when you open the little monitor top refrigerator, the antique bottles of milk and, you know, the canned goods in the cupboards, that we go to that extent to try to really paint a truly accurate picture of what little tiny Johnny saw when he ran around in that house.
Now, your new project here in Oklahoma is even bigger because you actually have to reconstruct Woody Guthrie's boyhood home, which was demolished.
Right.
But in a really amazing story, somebody saw the value of this home for what it was, Woody Guthrie's childhood home, boyhood home, and they actually saved the building materials.
Yeah, you're right about that. And it's, when I found that out, I just couldn't believe what I was reading. And when I stumbled on that project, I actually went on the internet and I found a bunch of pictures of Woody Guthrie's terribly dilapidated house. And I thought, this is great. There's the house. I can go down there and restore it. We can do what we do. And I apparently didn't read enough Google searches down to find the article that said that it had been demolished in 1980. But when I did realize that, I really was brokenhearted, and that was just, Woody Guthrie is such an incredibly iconic figure, and I just thought, man, to be connected to that project would mean everything to me. But then I didn't give up, and I kept hearing more about this wood that had been saved, and then the stones from the foundation had been saved, and then most of the foundation is still in the ground. And I started to put these key elements together. I realized that this is probably the best project I'll ever come across, because it involves really every phase of construction. And of course, just the iconic figure of Woody Guthrie.
And in fact, the project has been dubbed "This House is Your House," and it's to reconstruct and restore Woody Guthrie's childhood home in Okemah. Where does the project stand at this point?
Well, right now we're getting ready. On October 1st, we'll be kicking off our official fundraiser. On October 13th, Kris Kristofferson is coming to Tulsa.
He'll be appearing at the Mabee Center. Yeah,
and that's going to be our first real big fundraiser. And so right now we're raising funds. The week after that fundraiser, we'll be starting in town on building the foundation and starting to set stones and work through the winter to reconstruct his childhood home.
Now, I assume it's another small working class house. Was there anything particularly interesting about the house as it existed?
You know what there is? If you look at the pictures online of the house, the fact that it's built into a hillside, and it's a very standard, we call it an intersecting gable farmhouse, very, very small house, but because of the hillside it was built on, on the back of the house, it has basically what you rarely saw in those days, which is a full walkout basement. And so on the back side of the house, you have the first story is native sandstone, and then the upper story is all lap siding. And it makes for a real interesting project that just naturally, because of where the house sits on the lot, it just naturally, to me, just fit the concept of having small concerts there on the back porch of the house overlooking the big backyard that Woody would have played in during Woody Fest. We have a lot of artists who really want to play there. And there are so many elements of this house that lended to a great project, but even beyond that, just a great source of future interest and revenue for the property.
Well, and of course, you know, in this case, you're not having to build a 501c3 from scratch because, gosh, we've got all sorts of 501c3s devoted to Woody Guthrie already, from Woody Fest to the archives in Tulsa. So you have this built-in structure to support this restoration.
Well, that has been such an asset for us. There are so many people that we can lean on and, you know, that we feel really have our back. As far as this project goes, this is one of those projects where I have no fear that if 5 or 6 years down the road that I'm going to pick up the paper and see a picture of it dilapidated and, you know, that it just didn't work out. Because, like you said, there are just so many people who will be able to just step in and make this thing continue to be a historic site for people to visit from all over the country.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one of the questions I had. How viable do you think these childhood homes, birthplaces, for, you know, it's one thing for a president where you have the National Park Service involved, but
right.
But for a local community to tout that as a tourist attraction, you know, fame fades as time goes on. How viable do you think most of these projects will be 20, 30 years?
Actually, we went to Winterset, Iowa. And that's where I really did a lot of research. I sat down with the board of directors for the John Wayne birthplace and his childhood museum. And, boy, I'll tell you, they really did it right. And they were so kind. They sat down with me for hours, and we poured over all kinds of information on how I learned how they acquired the property, how they acquired the adjacent properties, and how this, you know, how the snowball grew as it did. We've used their traffic counts are incredibly high, and they're just a teeny little town about an hour to an hour and a half outside of Des Moines, Iowa, which is exactly what Corning, Iowa is, and that's exactly what Okemah, Oklahoma is. Tiny little town, not much population, But the people that come to that town to see that house from all over the country, when you look at the guest book at any of these houses, it's unbelievable. It's really coast to coast, and people from all over the world, but 98% of the signatures are people from all over the country. And if they're in the area and you have a decent web presence, people are always looking for a place to stop off and see something interesting. And these are very interesting.
My guest today is Dan Reedeman, a home restoration expert and the principal of 19th Century Restorations, a historic preservation and restoration company that is leading the work on This House Is Your House, the reconstruction project for Woody Guthrie's childhood home, boyhood home in Okemah, Oklahoma. And sounds like there's already big plans. I mean, if you're thinking about doing musical events, this is going to be a focus of culture in the community.
It really is. It's right now the house sits on a devastated city block, 2.4 acres. There is the foundation where the house once stood, and then two other boarded up houses on a city block that at one time had 12 houses standing on it. And now it's just open field and just an overgrown block. It's literally two blocks from downtown. And so our plan is we're working with property owners all over, everyone who owns a lot on that block, to acquire each and every lot so that we have the full 2.4 acres. And then we're going to turn it into a city park, basically. But it'll be run by the Okfuskee Historical Society, and all proceeds will go to the Historic Society so that they can maintain it. But it's really going to be a neat piece of ground, because, of course, you're going to be able to tour Woody Guthrie's childhood home. Directly behind it is going to be an information center and a museum that will house all kinds of great Woody Guthrie archival material. We actually have somebody right now who's trying to donate. She was a friend of Woody's in school, and she's trying to donate to us some pieces that would go in that museum. And then the rest of the site, we're going to play around a little bit. We're going to build a couple of park shelters so that during Woody Fest and really any time of the year, if somebody wanted to have a special event there, whether it be a small wedding party, a business luncheon, that this property will be available for just such events. A small 4th of July musical ensemble can play there. And we're really trying to make this a focal point of the city, because really Woody Guthrie is the biggest name to come out of that town. And, this little site is Okemah, Oklahoma's Graceland. And, it was a shame that it was torn down, but now here we are. We have the opportunity to right that wrong and rebuild it, and we're going full steam ahead.
Now, one of the interesting fundraising projects that has become about, we mentioned the Kris Kristofferson concert. That'll be Sunday, October 13th at the Mabee Center, and proceeds will benefit the reconstruction of This House Is Your House. The other thing is the Gibson Company, a guitar company, has, I guess somebody's arranged for them to make 8 original electric guitars from some of the wood from Woody's home.
Yes. That was, I have to give credit where credit's due. And it's interesting. I've worked with John Fulbright through this process for about a year now. We've chatted back and forth about ideas. He's from Okemah, so yeah. This project's real dear to his heart. And he actually came up with that idea. He shot me a quick email one day, and he said, "Dan, see if this is feasible. Couldn't a guitar be made out of some of that old lumber?" And it's very feasible on our side, because if you think about building standards then, which there were none, and building standards today, there's a lot of lumber that's going to be laid aside because it dimensionally isn't large enough to use. We're going to have to bring in floor joists, because the dimensions back then, they would have used 2x6s, 2x8s at the most, and nowadays they require a larger dimension of lumber. So there is going to be a lot of newer lumber that will go into this building, which is going to leave us with a nice pile of some good old floor joists and items. so we started to fish that idea around, and we talked to a couple of custom guitar makers, and but then we ended up with a Johnny ended up, he had a connection with Gibson and made a phone call, and they got their engineers together and sat down and started figuring out if this could be done, and then they determined it could, and now Gibson Guitars is going to make 8 custom guitars out of the wood from Woody Guthrie's childhood home, and they're going to market them and auction them off for us, and yeah. donate all the proceeds to the construction of the house.
Well, that sounds like you're off to a great start in getting this done, and it will be a great asset to Okemah. And this is not the only project you're working on, Dan Reedeman. Dan Reedeman is my guest today, who is helping to restore and rebuild Woody Guthrie's childhood home in Okemah. The project is called This House Is Your House. There'll be a benefit concert on Sunday, October 13th with Chris Christopherson at the Mabee Center. And, of course, the Gibson guitars will be auctioned off. I heard it may be eBay or something like that, but it is definitely going to be a high-dollar auction for those 8 guitars. But this is not the only project you have. You're actually starting work on several projects in, I think, South Carolina. One definitely in South Carolina, the Nina Simone Birthplace and Childhood Home. And then a very interesting project, because this is not really a famous name, Henry Hutchinson. And it's the oldest identified intact home on Edisto Island in South Carolina. This would have been a Gullah community.
Yeah, we're basically... Immediately when we're done with Woody Guthrie's childhood home, we'll be moving on to Nina Simone's. And that one's in Tryon, North Carolina. Then we're in negotiations right now for to do the same thing we've been doing everywhere else on the birthplace and childhood home of Muhammad Ali.
Wow.
But we are quickly going to move on to the Henry Hutchinson house in South Carolina. And yes, that's an interesting house because of its age. It's the oldest house on the island, but also it's so significant because to me, there's Henry Hutchinson was born into slavery and grew up, and as an adult, oh gosh, I hope I quote this right, but he owned the first cotton gin and died a successful businessman and bought this big estate, and he built this, it's by today's standards, a quite modest home, but it was a very, very nice home at the time. And just the story, just to think that this baby, of course, was born into slavery. Slavery ended. He went on in his adult life to be a successful businessman, buy several acres on this island, and the stories about it are just amazing, that he had acres and acres of fruit trees and just orchards all around this beautiful old historic home. And it's just such an incredible piece of history, and I feel that we just have to go down and save it.
You know, it sounds like a great project, too, and as well as the Ali and the Nina Simone projects. And I assume that there are people behind these projects to create a living museum that will sort of recreate what life was like during these popular culture figures' childhood?
Yes. Yeah, in every case right now, there is we have celebrities stepping forward to back the projects and help us endorse them. George Foreman is just chomping at the bit to help us with the Muhammad Ali house. He loves Muhammad Ali. He really wants to go in and honor, you know, it's hard to imagine. These two had just such amazingly vicious history in the ring. And then, but outside of the ring, they're dear friends. And we have several other people. You know, Chris Christopherson's helping us out on this project by throwing this concert. But Chris has a strong interest in the Muhammad Ali house as well, because he and Muhammad Ali are very close friends. They vacation together to this day. Hmm. And there's, in every single project, we have so many amazing people who want to come and actually be a part of it. David Amram, who was a union carpenter back in 1948. Now he's one of the...
Well, a great musician, yes.
Great musician. He's going to come down and help us physically, help us build Woody Guthrie's childhood home.
And that's crazy because he's like 80 years old now.
Yeah. Oh, but I'll tell you what.
Nobody has more energy than David Amram. That's right.
No, I'm telling 80's the new 50. If you're looking at Dave Amram, he's just an amazing guy. And I can't wait to work with him. And then, Ivan Mogul, who was Nina Simone's agent, and Henry Belafonte, and Sidney Poitier. We have people from all around who just adored Nina Simone, who want to come and be a part of that project. So it's really becoming a really neat, I'm getting to meet people I never thought I'd meet, but it's really fun to see how people want to come in and pay tribute to these people.
Well, we wish you great success with This House Is Your House, the reconstruction project of the Woody Guthrie Childhood Home. If all goes well in the fundraising this fall, what's the timeline for having the project completed?
Well, if everything goes well with the fundraising this fall, we'll have the project completed, the house and phases one and two completed by March. And then we into May and April and May, we'll probably be working on the 2.4 acre site, finishing the big picture, and then we'll have the grand opening during Woody Fest next year.
Wow, that's a very quick timeline. So this is going to happen pretty quick.
Well, yeah,
within a year.
You know, I have a wife and kids that I leave in Lawrence when I go do these projects. So when I get up there, there's no 40-hour work weeks for me. If I'm going to be gone for a month at a time away from home, then, boy, I'll tell you, I do nothing but work. And so we're able to turn them over quite a bit faster.
All right. Well, we wish you great success with the project and looking forward to seeing the Woody Guthrie Boyhood Home reconstructed and restored to the way it was in the 1920s and 1930s. We look forward to it. Dan, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Rich. I appreciate your time.
Dan Riedemann is a historic preservationist and the lead contractor on the restoration of Woody Guthrie's childhood home in Okemah. The project titled This House Is Your House is currently raising funds. There'll be a concert by Chris Christopherson Sunday, October 13th at the Mabee Center. For more information about the project and how you can help fund it, visit WoodyGuthrieMemorial.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.